The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 398 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Well, the NFL regular season is in the books. The playoff field is set. Peyton Manning is back for the Broncos, the number one seed in the AFC. The Steelers are in. The Jets are out. The Browns are cleaning house. We have a huge NFL segment coming up. Several teams, including the New York Giants, are looking for a new head coach. This is my first show in 2016. Want to wish all of you a happy new year, all the best in 2016. But we'll take a peek back at some of the top stories from the past year. All coming up here on episode 398 of the Sports Report podcast, with you every Monday, 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy sports talk, without the homerism that you're used to. Feel free to tweet me your picks for Wild Card Weekend. I'll run down all the matchups coming up. Again, I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. We start at Mile High. Denver, San Diego was a late afternoon start here on the East Coast. A lot was still up in the air at that point. The Broncos could have been the number one seed or fall to the number five seed. This game also impacted the Patriots and the Bengals, so a lot was on the line. Denver started with a bang, a 72-yard touchdown pass from Brock Osweiler to Demaryius Thomas on the second play of the game. After that, however, the wheels came off. It was turnover palooza for the Broncos. Osweiler threw two picks. Now, neither was his fault, to be fair. The Broncos lost three fumbles. It was ugly. Five turnovers. Denver fell behind with 8:18 to go in the third quarter. An amazing one-handed catch, 13-yarder by Antonio Gates. Still getting it done. One of the best tight ends to ever play the game. And San Diego was up 13-7. Enter the future Hall of Famer, Peyton Manning, and the crowd was loving it. It really was a unique moment. You don't get to see that type of moment in sports every day. Broncos needed a spark, and this move gave it to them. Not that Peyton was throwing it all over the place, because he wasn't, but his leadership, his ability to audible, to successful run plays, pre-snap, able to dissect what you're going to do and change into a better play, it provided a boost that Denver needed at that time of the game. They immediately marched 80 yards for a touchdown. Again, the run game was the key, and they weren't turning it over left and right. The Chargers did not back down. Phillip Rivers hit Tyrell Williams for an 80-yard touchdown to retake the lead, 20-17, with 13 minutes to play. Aqib Talib just let him run right by. It was even at 20 when Rivers tossed a game-changing interception with 5 minutes left, and on the very next play, Ronnie Hillman raced 23 yards for the tie-breaking touchdown. 27-20 was the final. Manning, 5 of 9, again, didn't throw a whole lot, 69 yards through the air. He had not played since November 15th, a Week 10 four-interception debacle against Kansas City. Remember that one against the Chiefs? Ugh. Some media bobbleheads, not yours truly, but some said he was done. We would never see him again. Oops, he's back. The win gives Denver the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. Now, Peyton's return from that left foot injury is the biggest story in the NFL. Denver has a bye, so he has time to get plenty of reps. He was actually working with the second team this past week. How awkward does that sound? Peyton Manning as the backup quarterback. First time in his life since he was in college at Tennessee, and Todd Helton was the quarterback. Yes, that Todd Helton went on to a great career with the Colorado Rockies. I'm very curious to see how he plays in a couple of weeks. We know Denver's defense is legit. That we know. Unfortunately, DeMarcus Ware and Darian Stewart got hurt in this game and left with injuries. The Broncos finished the regular season at 12-4. The Chargers were 4-12 in what may be their last season in San Diego, which I think would be a shame. I'm all for the powder blue, and that franchise has had a lot of great players over the years. The scenario was simple for the Jets. Win and you're in. They were facing former coach Rex Ryan and the Bills in Buffalo. New York had won 5 straight. The Bills were banged up. A number of starters did not play, including LeSean McCoy at running back. But Buffalo got out to a 13-0 lead and never looked back. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a really, really nice season. 31 touchdown passes, a franchise record, but this was not his day. Far from it. His 21-yard touchdown pass to Eric Decker got the Jets within 2 late in the third, but, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, Fitzpatrick threw not one, not two, but 3 picks in the fourth quarter. New York was at Buffalo's 15-yard line when he was intercepted in the end zone by Leotis McKelvin, a gigantic mistake by the bearded one. That was the play of the game. If you just take a field goal there, you're back in front. He was also intercepted with 2 minutes remaining and then again with 11 seconds left. Fitzpatrick, who hasn't been to the postseason in 11 seasons, was just 16 of 37, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns, and those 3 interceptions. Meanwhile, Tyrod Taylor, 18 of 28, a buck 82, plus 50 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Sammy Watkins was a beast, 11 catches, 136 yards. Rex Ryan's club ruins the Jets' season. They beat New York both times this season by the same score, 22-17. The Jets are 10-6, but they will be home for the playoffs. The Bills, 8-8. The Steelers are in thanks to the Bills and a 16-point victory at Cleveland. I'll tell you all about that coming up here on episode 398. I will take you through every single game from Sunday, some of the coaching changes going on, the playoff matchups for Wild Card Weekend. It is all on tap here on the Sports Report. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Feel free to comment, agree, disagree on anything you hear today. Love to get new followers to the show at TheSportsRPT. Today's show is brought to you by iHome. They have the perfect gifts for you, your family members, your friends. I know Christmas is over, but hey, you can always get somebody a gift, right? From the portable color-changing IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof IBN6. How cool is that? iHome has all of your Bluetooth needs covered, from Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers. Yes, wireless, very convenient. iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just for hanging out, chilling at home, and relaxing. Go to the website, look at all their great products. It's iHomeAudio.com. You can also check out their apps and accessories there. iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. The sound quality is the best. It cannot be beat. So do your shopping at iHomeAudio.com, iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 398, let's get to the Steelers here. Remember that shocking loss a week ago against Baltimore? Well, Pittsburgh got a second chance and took full advantage. Although the offense did not look good at times, it was only 7-6 until Big Ben hit who else but Antonio Brown for a 17-yard TD with a minute left in the half. Brown had 13 catches, 187 yards. This guy is so much fun to watch. Roethlisberger threw for 349, three touchdowns, two picks. Austin Davis had a rough day, including a killer interception at the goal line by the veteran James Harrison. Cleveland only down 5 points at that time. Then in the fourth quarter, Davis was sacked, fumbled. Pittsburgh recovered inside the 10. On the next play, Big Ben found Marcus Wheaton for an 8-yard score, and that sealed the deal, put the Steelers up 13. They went on to win 28-12. Davis was sacked 7 times. The Browns settled for 4 field goals. They had as many field goals as turnovers. Never a ratio you want to see. Cleveland goes 3-13. Head coach Mike Pettin and general manager Ray Farmer were fired after the game. Pettin was 10-22 in 2 seasons. He lost 18 of his final 21 games. Once again, the Browns are starting over, proving yet again, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't win, period. And they haven't had one since Bernie Kosar. You young kids out there, Google the name, Bernie Kosar. Played at the U. Pittsburgh is 10-6. They are in. They did not look great. D'Angelo Williams hurt his ankle. He played very well this season at running back when Le'Veon Bell got hurt. Steelers are the number 6 seed, and they are dangerous. Lots of weapons on offense. Look at that wide receiving core. It is scary. They will be at Cincinnati in the opening round of the playoffs. Couple teams with a little bit of history there. That's going to be a fun one. The Steelers and Bengals split in the regular season. Pittsburgh won at Cincinnati last month, 33-20. The Bengals are 12-4. They took care of the Ravens, 24-16. Cincinnati is the 3 seed. Denver's win cost them a bye. The Bengals got off to a slow start. They did not score until A.J. McCarron's 22-yard touchdown pass to Tyler Eifert with 2 minutes to go in the half. Good to see Eifert back. He has 13 touchdown catches this season. Had to go through the concussion protocol back in the end zone yet again. A.J. Green also caught a touchdown. No surprise there. Jeremy Hill, this was a bit of a surprise. He broke off a 38-yard touchdown run on 4th-and-1 in the third quarter. That put Cincinnati up 21-9. That was the play of the game in this one. And that is Hill's longest run of the season. He has had a quiet year. The Bengals were held under 300 yards. They were 0-for-9 on third down, and they had 11 penalties. Yes, the 12 wins ties a franchise record. This wasn't pretty, and it's pretty evident to me that they need Andy Dalton back to make a deep run in the playoffs. Dalton broke his right thumb in that loss to Pittsburgh that I talked about back on December 13th. Cincinnati, you know the history. We've harped on it a lot. 7 straight playoff losses. Bengals have not won a playoff game since 1990. And I just don't know that A.J. McCarron is going to be able to get this done, even though they will be at home. Getting the Steelers as a 6 seed, that will not be a walk in the park. Kansas City is the 5 seed at 11-5. The Chiefs have dropped 8 straight. No, we talked about Cincinnati's history. How about Kansas City? They've lost 8 straight playoff games. Their last win was in 1993. They held off the Raiders 23-17 on Sunday to win their franchise record 10th game in a row. That is unbelievable. From 1-5 to 11-5. What an incredible run. And they did it without Jamaal Charles, who's one of your top running backs in all of football. Hats off to a big red Andy Reid. Kansas City led Oakland 14-0 in the first quarter. Alex Smith threw for only 156 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions, which is very rare for Smith. Normally takes care of the football, manages the game. He had a pick six in this one. The Chiefs held Derek Carr under 200 yards, and Latavius Murray ran for just 31. Oakland had 205 total yards. Kansas City can play some defense. And Jeremy Maclin, what a huge pickup in the offseason. He caught another touchdown pass. Charles Woodson's 18-year career came to an end. He is a lock Hall of Famer, one of the best defensive backs to ever play the game. Raiders are 7-9, but I think we would agree they are trending up. When you look at Carr and you look at Amari Cooper, you look at what Murray was able to do this season at the running back position, I think the arrow pointing up for the Oakland Raiders. Kansas City will be on the road against the number 4 seed Houston in the playoffs. The Texans captured the prestigious AFC South crown with a 30-6 rout of Jacksonville. Houston's 9-7. J.J. Watt had 3 sacks. He forced a fumble. He recovered another. He was playing without a cast for the first time since breaking his left hand a month ago. He's got to feel good about that. Houston set a franchise record with 8 sacks. Kareem Jackson added a pick six. Brian Hoyer returned from his second concussion. He passed for 249, a touchdown, and an interception. Alfred Blue ran for 102 yards. Jonathan Grimes had a couple of touchdowns. The Texans went from 2-5 to 9 wins and their first division title since 2012. Houston's win officially put a fork in the Colts. They needed 9 different things to happen to win the division. It was not going to happen, even though they were technically, mathematically alive. But once Houston won, that was that. Indianapolis did get to the 500 mark at 8-8, a 30-24 victory over the visiting Titans. The Colts signed Josh Freeman and Ryan Lindley off the street last week, and both of them ended up playing. Both of them tossed a touchdown pass. Indy led by 13 in the third quarter and then held on. Tennessee falls to 3-13, tied with Cleveland for the worst record in the NFL. The Patriots wound up as the number 2 seed. They were a 10-point favorite and lost at Miami 20-10. New England is 12-4, but that offensive line is having a ton of trouble protecting Tom Brady. He did get hit low a couple of times. Some scary moments for Patriots fans, especially when Sue came through and hit him. They did an MRI. It did not reveal anything serious. No tears, no breaks. Brady has a sprained ankle, and he's going to be ready to go. New England 2-4 in its last 6 games. Now, they have been banged up. They've been decimated by injuries. We'll see what happens when the playoff starts and they have guys back. But not the way you want to finish up a season. They do still get a bye, which is important, but they lost home field advantage throughout. That goes to Denver. Brady passed for a season low, 134 yards. No touchdown passes for the first time all season for him. Now, they only threw it about 5 times in the first half. Newcomer Steven Jackson, remember him? He had the Patriots' only score, 2-yard run to tie it up early in the third quarter. Miami put together an 82-yard drive in the fourth, capped by Ryan Tannehill's 2-yard pass to Jordan Cameron for the lead. Tannehill threw for 350, 2 touchdowns. Rookie Devontae Parker had 106 receiving yards and to score. Youngster out of Louisville, physical receiver. I like his upside. Miami's 6-10. They were one of the trendy McTrenderson teams before the season, so this is a very disappointing year for the Finns. Over to the NFC, the Seahawks got off to a disappointing start, 2-4, But man, did they finish strong. This is a dangerous squad. Seattle rebounded from a stunning loss at home to St. Louis by going to Arizona and winning by 30. 36-6. Hello. I mean, it's not like they're playing the Browns here or the Titans. They're playing Arizona. They put a 30 spot on the board in the first half. Remember, the Cardinals had won 9 in a row. Russell Wilson, 19-28, 197, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's been unreal. Carson Palmer, on the other hand, 12-25, 129 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was replaced by Drew Stanton in the second half. This was a behind the woodshed special, a true donkey kicking. Maybe it'll be good for Arizona. Maybe it'll be a wake-up call. Back to Wilson. He's the first player in NFL history with 4,000 passing yards, 30 touchdown passes, and 500 rushing yards. He broke Seattle's single-season records for both passing yards and touchdown passes, 34 of those. Palmer broke Arizona's record for single-season passing yards with over 4,500, but this was no time to celebrate. And a lot of passing records are getting broken because the game has changed. It's no longer 3 yards in a cloud of dust. People are throwing it all over the field. Cardinals were dominated. They only had the football for 23 and a half minutes. Arizona's 13-3, the number 2 seed in the NFC, behind Carolina, who's 15-1. The Panthers hammered the Bucs 38-10. Carolina outscored Tampa Bay 24-0 in the second quarter. Cam Newton, 21-26, 293, 2 touchdowns, also ran for 2 scores. The Panthers have won 11 consecutive home games. Rookie Jameis Winston threw for 325, but he had 2 picks. Tampa Bay 6-10. The 3 seed was up in the air. It came down to prime time, Minnesota at Green Bay. The Pack coming off a 30-point loss at Arizona. The Vikings had blown out the Bears and the Giants in their previous 2 games. Through 3 quarters, it was all Minnesota. They led 20-3 after Captain Munnerlyn's 55-yard fumble return. But then Aaron Rodgers got hot in the fourth quarter and made it interesting. The Packers had a couple of chances late, but they could not get the tying touchdown. Rodgers was picked off in the end zone by Xavier Rhodes. He played one whale of a game. Then the last second heave into the end zone was batted down. So no miracle finish this time around for Green Bay. We've certainly seen it before from Rodgers and company. But they lost 20-13. Minnesota wins its first division title since 2009. The Packers had finished first 4 straight seasons. Rodgers was 28-44, 291 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Most of his yards came in that fourth quarter. Minnesota's defense was terrific again. That's their MO. The offense did not do a whole heck of a lot. 2 of 11 on third down. Teddy Bridgewater only passed for 99 yards with a pick. They had 242 as far as total yards. Adrian Peterson ran for 67, only 3.5 yards a pop, did have a touchdown, and his 1,485 rushing yards led the league this season. But Mike Zimmer's defense stole the show, and they will certainly be tested Sunday by Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Minnesota will be at home, but it seems like everybody likes Seattle in this wild card matchup. Green Bay is 10-6. The Packers fall to the number 5 seed, so they go to Washington Sunday. The Redskins improved to 9-7 with a 34-23 win at Dallas. Kirk Cousins tossed 3 first quarter touchdown passes, 3 in the first quarter. Washington led 24-0 in the second quarter. Cousins was taken out before halftime. 12 of 15, 176 yards, which was enough to set the franchise single-season record. He threw for over 4,100 yards this season. What a story. Washington had already wrapped up the NFC East title. Alfred Morris ran for 100 yards, his first 100-yard game since the season opener. Redskins have won four in a row. They're back in the playoffs for the first time since 2012. The Cowboys, yikes. Rusty nail straight into my eyeball. 4-12, 1-7 at home. It is the worst season since going 1-15 back in 89. And you see how valuable Tony Romo is when he's out. I don't love Romo like some media bobbleheads do, but compared to Brandon Whedon, good grief. Kellen Moore passed for 435 yards, three touchdowns, but it was deceiving. They were done early in this when he had a couple of turnovers, got down 24-0. Dallas had four turnovers in the game. They finished minus 22 in turnover margin on the season, the worst in the league. That is how you end up at 4-12. It was a nightmare season for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Eagles beat the Giants 35-30 in their season finale. Tom Coughlin will not be back with Big Blue after New York missed the playoffs for a fourth consecutive year. Coughlin had a great run, though. Two Super Bowl championships, three division titles with the G-Men. In 12 years, he won 102 games. You know, people at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to remember how it ended. They're going to remember the Super Bowl championships that he brought to the Big Apple. And he also did a really good job in Jacksonville way back when. Sam Bradford, 30-38, 320 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. Eagles have a decision to make here because his contract is up. Zach Ertz, 9 catches, 152 yards. Jordan Matthews caught 2 touchdowns. DeMarco Murray, remember him? The guy who led the league in rushing last year? He actually had a 54-yard touchdown run early in this game. After that, 11 carries for 15 yards. But he had the one big one. Walter Thurman, going up against his former team, returned a fumble, 83 yards for the go-ahead touchdown in the third quarter. The Birds gave up 500 yards. Eli Manning threw for 302 scores. Rashad Jennings ran for 170 and a touchdown, but the Eagles pulled it out 35-30. That means the Giants will be playing over in London, and the Eagles, as the second-place finisher, get Seattle. Good luck. Side note of interest, Chip Kelly's representatives reportedly reached out to the 49ers to express interest in that opening. He was 26-21 in 3 years with Philadelphia, got off to a great start, won 10 games, got to the playoffs, won 10 games in year two, but this year really, really struggled. Awful job as GM. He'll tell you he wasn't the GM. He had control over personnel, bottom line. And you look at all the turnover. No DeSean Jackson, no Jeremy Maclin, no Shady McCoy. Nick Foles is gone. Bradford brought in. Players like Kiko Alonso, who he traded for, very underwhelming. Also, Byron Maxwell, who they emptied the vault for. This guy got burnt over and over and over again. So the personnel moves by Chip Kelly, not real good. I would have given him one more year just to see how it goes, but Jeffrey Lurie decided to give him the axe, which is surprising because Lurie is a very patient owner, and he doesn't usually make these rash decisions. The Lions won at Chicago 24-20 in a meaningless game. Matthew Stafford threw for 298 and 3 scores. Megatron had 137 receiving yards. Detroit played better down the stretch, won 6 of 8. Lions are 7-9. They were in the playoffs a year ago, so they also were a disappointment. Terrible start. Chicago's lost 4 of 5 to finish up at 6-10 and 1-7 at home. Man, Jay Cutler had 3 interceptions. He was actually better in that department this season. 17-23 on the day, 2 touchdowns. The Bears are in the basement of the division. Saints went to Atlanta, won 20-17. 36-year-old, soon to be 37, Drew Brees, 32-42, 323 yards and a touchdown. Saints go 7-9. Atlanta's 8-8. Remember way back when they were 5-0. Finish up 8-8, missed the playoffs. Matt Ryan, 334 yards, 2 touchdowns, but critical pick with less than 2 minutes to go. That set up Kai Forbath's 30-yard field goal at time expired, and that was the difference. Finally, my buddy Carl, who follows me on Twitter, he's listened to the podcast for a long time. Always appreciate his support. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Carl got to enjoy a win, and they've been few and far between for his 49ers as they snuck past the Rams 19-16 in overtime. Blaine Gabbert, you can't stop Blaine Gabbert. You can only hope to contain him. 350 yards. San Francisco piled up 458 total yards. What happened to that St. Louis defense? Rams are 7-9, another disappointment. 49ers 5-11. Head coach Jim Tomsula got canned just hours after the game. He lasted only 1 year. Big picture here, it's about the players. And right now you're hearing all the same names as candidates for coaching openings. Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator in Chicago, he's only 37. Josh McDaniels, who's 39, former head coach, now he's the OC in New England. Sean McDermott, who's 41, a defensive coordinator with Carolina. You know how good that defense is. But if these guys go to bad organizations, they're probably going to struggle because you need players. At the pro level, it's about the players first and foremost, especially quarterback. And if you don't have the personnel, you most likely will be recycled in a few years like the NFL always does. The hot coordinator isn't so hot after a 4-12 or 5-11 year. And NFL owners usually don't have much patience because this is a billion-dollar industry. It's big business. San Diego did decide to show a little patience. They're going to keep Mike McCoy as head coach. Chargers went from 9-7 to 4-12, but he is not going to get fired. Let's run down the playoff matchups here. Tweet me your picks for all four games, and you can weigh in on what happens with NFL coaches and how they seem to be interchangeable. You know, I mean, Ron Rivera now all of a sudden is getting all this praise, and I have nothing against the guy, but he was about to get fired. And now Carolina's 15-1. All of a sudden, he's Vince Lombardi. This is episode 398 of the Sports Report. Tweet me at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. NFC matchups. These games are Sunday, 1:05 on the East Coast. Minnesota at home against Seattle. The Seahawks, a 6 seed here. Look out. Green Bay, the 5 seed, goes to Washington, the 4 seed. That's at 4:40 on the East Coast on Sunday. Redskins are hot. Kirk Cousins, a great story. But Aaron Rodgers gets a lot of pull. I think a lot of fans here and the betting public, I think they're going to be going with the road teams in the NFC. Saturday, it's all about the AFC. First up at 4:20 on the East, it is number 5, Kansas City, at number 4 seed, Houston. Again, I think a lot of people like the road team here. And then number 6 seed, Pittsburgh, at number 3 seed, Cincinnati. That is an 8:15 kickoff Saturday night, primetime. Steelers, Bengals going at it again. Can Cincinnati and Kansas City finally get the monkey off their back? It's been a long, long time since those two franchises have won playoff games. The byes in the NFC, Carolina and Arizona. Carolina's the 1 seed, Arizona the 2. Over in the AFC, Denver's your 1 seed, and New England, because of that loss to Miami week 17, New England drops to the 2 seed in the AFC. I want to see the Patriots when they get everybody back. I still think they will be a factor. This is episode 398 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy New Year, everybody. First show of 2016. Wish you all the best. I'm on Twitter again at TheSportsRPT, and keep the 5-star reviews coming in the podcast section of iTunes. We're with you every Monday on iTunes and the Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. Because it is the first show of the new year, I thought we'd just take a quick peek back and look at the top stories of 2015. Remember American Pharoah? Of course you do. Won the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, horse racing's first Triple Crown since 78. Well, the Associated Press selected that story as the story of the year. In the 37 years since Affirmed became the 11th Triple Crown winner, 13 horses had won the Derby and the Preakness, only to fail in the Belmont. But American Pharoah took the lead right from the start, and it went on to win by 5.5 lengths for Victor Espinosa, the jockey and trainer Bob Baffert. Second story was Deflategate. You know, the Patriots hammered the Colts 45-7 in the AFC Championship game. But all of a sudden, we heard about the footballs and PSI. The NFL spent more than $3 million for the investigation. Ted Wells did a report, almost 250 pages. He found it was, quote, more probable than not that two Patriots employees deliberately released air from game balls to below the league mandated minimum at that game. Brady, quote, was at least generally aware. Let's just move on. Number three, FIFA corruption. FIFA's president, Sepp Blatter, suspended 8 years. Number four, the Warriors win it all. Golden State wins its first NBA title in 4 decades, beating LeBron and the Cavs in 6 games. And Steph Curry was voted the AP Male Athlete of the Year. Number five, Spieth chases slam. 21-year-old, oh, to be 21 again. Jordan Spieth won the first 2 legs of a Grand Slam. The only other men since 1960 to get that far were Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods. Some pretty good company. And none of them got as close to the third leg as Spieth did. He was tied for the British Open lead with 2 holes to play, finished 1 shot out of a playoff. He was also in the final group of the PGA Championship, where he was runner-up by 3 shots to Jason Day. Number six, top stories of 2015, Serena chases slam. Serena Williams was 2 victories from becoming the first since Steffi Graf in 88 to win the Australian Open, the French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open in the same year. Huge upset to unseeded Roberta Vinci, stunning the 21-time major champion in the semis in New York of the U.S. Open. Serena was named the AP Female Athlete of the Year. And if you want to comment on that, Steph Curry, the Male Athlete of the Year, Serena, the Female Athlete, feel free to tweet me again at the Sports RPT if you agree or disagree with those selections. Number seven story, the Women's World Cup. Hey, I was tuned into this. I enjoyed it. 4 years after a heartbreaking loss to Japan in the World Cup final, Carly Lloyd scored a hat trick in the first 16 minutes. A wild game, all kinds of goals, and the Americans won 5-2 up in Canada for their first title since 99. Number eight, the Royals are crowned. That's right, Kansas City came from behind yet again in Game 5 of the World Series to beat the Mets in 12 innings, their first championship since 1985. Number 9, Missouri football. Just 2 days after Missouri football players threatened to boycott a game, the president of the university stepped down. There were tensions for weeks about the athletes joining the protest in support of a grad student who was holding a hunger strike. A lot of this was over race. Number 10, the first college football playoff champion was crowned, and it was Ohio State. And they did it with a third string quarterback in Cardale Jones. They upset Alabama, they beat Oregon, and they kick off a new era in the sport with a championship for Urban Meyer and company. So those are the top 10 sports stories of the year as voted on by the Associated Press. Again, number one, the Triple Crown. Number two, Deflategate. Three, FIFA's corruption. Four, Golden State Warriors win it all. Five, Spieth. Six, Serena. Seven, the Women's World Cup. Eight, the Royals. Nine, Missouri football. And 10, the new college football format, and Ohio State winning it all with Cardale Jones under center. What do you think of the list? Again, can agree, disagree, it's cool. I'm at the Sports RPT on Twitter, the Sports RPT. Have a great week, everybody. Again, Happy New Year. I'll talk to you again next Monday right here on The Grizz and in the podcast section of iTunes. This has been episode number 398. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.